Magandang hapon po sa inyong lahat. Good afternoon, everyone. Nais ko pong magpasalamat sa lupon ng tagapamahala at tagapagpaganap ng konferensyang ito sa pagkakataon na binigay sa akin bilang maging imbitasyon na mapabilang sa hanay ng mga magsasalita. It's indeed a privilege and honor for me to be part of this momentous occasion when we commemorate the 150th birth anniversary of Rizal. This afternoon, the paper I would like to share with you revisits Rizal's ideas on Filipino Malayness, or the Malay aspect of Filipino identity, and it will try to connect with the effort to rethink the analytics of Malayness. Next slide, please. I suppose that one of the major themes that underpin this conference is the question of or a reassessment of the relevance of Rizal today. And we all know that Rizal had the range of things that Rizal had done was quite amazing, very wide range. And one of those many areas that touched Rizal's prolific mind and pen was on the question of the Malay identity of Filipinos. It's unfortunate that Rizal died at a time when his interest in this question had yet to fully mature. Few months before he died, sometime in April of 1896, he wrote to Blumentritt saying that he intended to read everything about, things that were published about this question with the intention of settling once and for all some of the vexing questions in his mind, particularly about the relationship between Tagalog and Malay languages, and the quietly popularly received supposition during the time that Filipinos originated from Sumatra or Malay. Be that as it may, we are still left with certain passages in a number of letters he wrote, as well as a number of articles that he wrote, such as Indolence of the Filipinos, The Philippines Within a Century, and some notes on languages he was studying that can give us a lot of ideas about things he was thinking about the Filipino-Malay identity. What is quite clear is the politically motivated nature of the way how he appropriated Malay identity as a marker of Filipino identity. As we all know, Rizal, along with other propagandists, were locked in some kind of their own kind of clash of civilization against the Spanish critics, and they use Filipino Malayness as one of the ammunitions in this kind of struggle. Next slide, please. Now, the fundamental question that my paper seeks to address is, what difference does it make on the analytics of Malayness if we take fully on board the case of Filipino Malayness in general, and Rizal's thoughts in particular? The key words here are to take fully on board. Because for quite some time, it's been a long time that Rizal and Filipinos are pretty well accepted as part of the Malay world. And this is particularly true in Malaysia. As Dr. Vilado, the previous speaker, had demonstrated in his paper earlier. The problem is the way how they take them in is some kind of half-hearted or halfway. They chose the characters, the features of Rizal and the Filipinos that they proved quite useful for their purpose, and those that do not fit are easily discarded as not part of the discourse. So the question is, what happens if we take Filipino Malayness and Rizal's thought fully on board? And that's the main idea behind this paper. Next slide, please. Let me give you some background. One of the interesting developments in Malay studies in the past 10 or so years is the rising interest in the questioning of the parameters or definition of what it means to be Malay. And this one indicator of this is the proliferation of books, articles, edited volumes written by big names in Malay studies, that is, the Western Malay studies, such as Anthony Milner, Leonard Andaya, Joel Kahn, Tim Barnard, Anthony Reed. So a lot of things have been coming up lately that examine in a wide range of the different facets of this question. Next slide, please. There have also been a lot of activities, those involving, for example, Gapena and Ismail Hussein, that seeks to reach out to other Malays in the diasporas, in Cape Malays in South Africa, for instance, in Sri Lanka, not just the Malays in the region. Also, there's been a transnational pan-Malay organization that has been established. This is the DMDI, Dunia Malayu, Dunia Islam. And as mentioned earlier, there's an international conference on Rizal in 1995, 1997. And Rizal was even hailed in these conferences as some kind of Palawan Malayu or Malay hero. There was even an instance when Anwar Ibrahim said that Rizal was not just the first Filipino. He was the first Malayan. So that kind of commentaries. All of this point to, it fuels that kind of questioning who really are Malays. Next slide, please. There are a number of factors that can explain the rise of this kind of Malayness industry, at least in the dominant Malay studies produced by Western scholars. These are factors that emanate from political developments in Malaysia. That includes the increasingly becoming heated scrutiny of the race-based politics in Malaysia. It also includes factors outside or beyond Malaysia. It's within the region and within the world as a whole, with increasing the salience of the Asian values debate in the 1990s, for example, as well as coupled with the clash of civilization discourse and the growing confidence of the Asian region, Southeast Asian region, particularly in the early mid-1990s. So there are a lot of things. There are also that kind of center-periphery tensions And people in Sumatra and Riau, for example, they found it very useful to claim that they are Malays. And the idea is really as some kind of counter-argument, counter-discourse against the dominance of Jakarta or the Javanese. In the same way that Muslims in Mindanao find it very, it comes quite naturally to identify more with the Muslim Malays across the boundary, across the border, rather than identifying themselves with Manila-centric Filipino nation. So that kind of things are going on. And this fuels the kind of questioning of what Malay means. Next slide, please. Now, let me point out a number of features of this Malayness discourse. One characteristic of this is the sidelining of the Philippines. It's not altogether ignored. This is true much more on the academic discourse on Malayness. As the previous speaker demonstrated earlier, in the press, for example, there is a much wider ways by which they appropriate Rizal, okay, in Malaysia, as well as in Indonesia. But among the dominant Western studies on Malay studies, Philippines tends to be sidelined, if not ignored altogether. If it is considered, there are only parts of the Philippines, and mainly the South, that they consider as part of the Malay world. And there are a lot of explanations for this. But I am not going to go into that, the details of that, because of lack of time. Next slide, please. Another feature is that to the extent that Rizal's role is recognized, it seems exaggerated. Exaggerated in a sense that practically, there are some scholars who practically put the burden of the propagation of the notion of Filipino Malayness to Rizal. Okay? And sometimes they said, one of these scholars, for example, said that Rizal was convinced by Blumentritt that he was a Tagalog Malay. And therefore, that's the entire question revolves around that. Disregarding the fact that there is as far deeper roots to this idea of Filipino Malayness goes back centuries before, and while it was at some point reduced in terms of emphasis, there are places in the Philippines where they never really forgot their Malay roots. And these are in Mindanao. So, that kind of thing. Rizal's role, whenever it is recognized, tends to be exaggerated. There's another thing. It's because they say that Filipino Malayness is often attributed to political projects, such as Matilindo, for example, then it is viewed as some kind of contrived or superficial. And therefore, it needs to be, it doesn't need or it doesn't call for serious attention. And where Philippines is embraced, as I mentioned earlier, the tendency is to be selective of certain parts or features that are compatible with the long-established parameters of Malayness. It is a supplementary rather than complementary matter. Next slide, please. Now, another feature of this Malayness discourse is that there's a stream that strongly supports the essentialized, reified, hegemonic notion of Malayness, where, as mentioned earlier by Dr. Jubilado, Islam is one of the pillars of the definition of Malayness. There are actually three major things that conventional notion of Malayness take on board as the marker of Malay identity. That's Islam, Malay Adat, or that kind of tradition, and Bahasa Melayu. So if you're missing any one of this, then you'd find it hard to be considered as Malay. That is according to the conventional notion of what Malay is. There is also a strong opposition to this stream. The emphasis on fluidity, contingency, situatedness, and historicized character of identity. And the writings produced in the recent years, for example, by Milner, by Kahn, by Andaya, all of them really emphasize to a great extent the kind of fluidity and contingency of Malay identity. But the problem that one can see, next slide please. The problem that they can see is that they seem to be hamstrung by the constraint they impose upon themselves based on geographic scope and religion. So by discounting the Philippines out of the Malay world, or ignoring, if not discounting. Then you restrict the definition of Malay world. You restrict the definition of what is Malay to what is easily to that kind of hegemonic definition. So by limiting the analytic platform within the Malay world proper, and only among Muslim populations, the scholars are faced with the preponderance of what is traditionally and narrowly regarded as Malay. With the naturalizing effect of such preponderance, it has become difficult to imagine Malayness beyond the confine of these traditional markers. This is precisely a condition that nurtures what otherwise is a particular notion of Malayness to become the Malayness, as enshrined, for instance, in the notion of Malay supremacy or Katuwanan Malayo. Next slide, please. Now, where does the case of Malayness in the Philippines, particularly Rizal, come in? A major analytic challenge is how to provincialize, borrowing Chakrabarti's term, the notion of Malayness to reflect the fact that various forms have emerged in different social and historical contexts, such as in the Philippines, under altogether different conditions and competing matrices of power relations. By juxtaposing Malayness in Malaysia and neighboring areas to a sharply different variant, for example, Filipino Malayness, alternative analytic imaginaries become possible, which could undo the support for, if not really destabilize, what has become through the years the political and analytic hegemony of the conventional notion of Malayness. Considering the case of the Philippines, it reinforces Joel Kahn's effort in the book The Other Malays to recover the cosmopolitan character of Malayness and to imagine the history that never was. The development of this cosmopolitan character was suppressed by the emergence of the hegemonic Malayness. And towards the recovery of this cosmopolitanism, this paper seeks to contribute by revisiting the writings of Rizal. So let us take a look at Rizal's views on Malayness. His view on Malayness seems religion blind. He regarded both Muslims and non-Muslim Filipinos as Malay. His view was hardly representative of the views on Malayness by others in his generation. I mean, generation of writers, scholars, like the propagandists. He exhibited perhaps the strongest skepticism about it. He was rather skeptical about the supposed origin, Malay origin of Tagalog, the supposed Sumatran origin of Filipinos. In his view, the category Malay as a racial or ethnic marker He's also quite skeptical of that because he said it was subject, Malay world was subject to various and changing influences. So let's take a look, for example, I'm quoting specific parts in one of his letters to Blumentritt. He said, well, I found many similarities after reading Marsden's History of Sumatra. He said, he had found many similarities between the customs of the Sumatrans and the Filipinos. He was quick to point out, however, that I cannot draw the conclusion that the Filipinos had come from Sumatra. In elaborating, he mused, the similarity between two individuals does not necessarily mean that one is the father of the other. Both can be the children of a deceased person. And for this reason, I believe it is difficult to decide whether we originated here or there before having studied thoroughly our respective histories, languages, and religions. Next slide, please. He also said at one point that the Malayans should not be considered. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Okay, he noted at one point that the Malaysians should not be considered either the original or typical race. They have been exposed to many foreign and powerful factors that have influenced their customs as well as their nature. So while Rizal is often considered as taken by many scholars as like an example par excellence of a propagandist or a Filipino who really made use of Malayness in their political efforts, actually he was rather skeptical about this. One other point that I'd like to stress is that Rizal also has a tendency to emphasize the positive character of Malays. They're hardworking, resilient, they're not lazy. Okay? They're active and effective traders. So Rizal, in glowing terms, they do it. And this tendency was consistent with the need to use Malayness as an ammunition in their clash of civilization with Spaniards. Malays were credited at the same time, however, Rizal did not mince words in talking about. Next slide, please. The piratical attacks of Malays of the South. And he talked also about, he also claims that the passion for gambling is innate in the adventuresome and excitable races such as the Malay. So, next slide, please. Next slide, please. So, to conclude, critical appreciation, measured engagement, creative appropriation, and ambivalence are apposite to describe Rizal's views relevant to Malayness. Contrary to the fairly common tendency among some scholars to exaggerate Rizal's views and role in the propagation of the notion of Filipino Malayness, Rizal was in fact more restrained than other propagandists. He often claimed being Malay as part of his and other Filipinos' identity, but he nurtured healthy skepticism about the basis of this claim. He seemed to have the right reason for doubting, for instance, the very idea of Malay as a singular and fixed category, simply because the Malay world was at the crossroads where influences from different parts of the world flowed. Such restraints and critical attitude are among Rizal's key characteristics that make for one of the reasons for his continuing relevance in a wide range of issues, including debates on Malayness. On the other hand, it may also be a source of vexing questions on what he really stood for or believed in. One may fault Rizal for the rather instrumental use of Filipino identity, Filipino Malay identity. And it might be construed as suggesting the superficiality of an identity, where needed or advantageous, he deployed Malayness as a marker for his own Filipino identity in general, but at the same time, he easily dropped the Malay appellation as the situation calls for. Lastly, last point I'd like to make. Evaluating Filipino Malayness as contrived or superficial and dismissing it on this basis presupposes the existence of a proper Malayness against which all other forms of Malaynesses ought to be measured. This approach poses the danger of granting a priori particular form of Malayness as a privileged position that effectively serves as analytic holy cow. This situation cannot but skew analysis towards an unrecognized bias. On the political level, the danger lies in the support it lends to the hegemonic Malayness that forms the backbone of the much maligned Kitawanan Malayo. Granting that Filipino Malayness is contrived or superficial, it remains crucial to It remains crucial to the analytics of Malayness to allow a full range of forms with which Malayness takes. And taking on board the case of the Philippines and Rizal's relevant ideas precisely helps pave for this. It also highlights the instrumental aspect of identity formation, which at its core, any identity-making project, national, regional, personal, is largely all about. The fear of trivializing Malayness is also denied its foundation. Once we realize that identity formation does require some form of trivialization to make it less politically dangerous, perhaps it is not wrong to say that happier are those people to whom their ethnic identity matters less. Without intending to, there probably lies, in his rather cursory take on Filipino Malayness, one of the wellsprings of Rizal's continuing relevance. Thank you very much, and I apologize for transcending the time limit.